Hello, everybody. Good morning, and thank you for coming out. We're going to talk about the Grand Unified Task System, or as we call it, GUTS, which we developed in our club, the Swarthmore College Computer Society. And before I go any further, let me talk about the questions we'll want to answer today for you. We'll start by talking about who we are. Then we'll talk about why we bothered to make GUTS, how it works, what we learned while making it work, and then talking about if you guys can also use it. Obviously, we would be really happy about that. And the spoiler alert, yes, you can use it. First of all, what is SCCS? SCCS, as I said, stands for the Swarthmore College Computer Society. We're a student-run group at Swarthmore College, which is just outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The group was founded in 1991 to support a couple of students who built their own network between two dorms by stringing telephone cables together. And this actually was 2 years before the college had its own network, so we're pretty proud of that fact. And today we have our own facilities, and we offer free computing services to the student body and generally the whole college community that includes faculty and college staff. So for instance, we offer an email address, free email address, mailing lists, web space, shell access, and so on and so forth. And this whole club is run by a bunch of student volunteers, including us too. So we do all this in our free time. We're not paid, and we just do it for fun.
Okay, so why did we make GUTS? So handling user requests like account creation and password changes manually and having to sort of monitor each one by hand becomes really tedious. And so you can check various input automatically, of course, but there's some kinds of input for which we want administrator review. And because we all are full-time students, we don't have a lot of time to spend on SCCS as a whole, and the time that we'd have to spend, we'd rather spend developing new features than trying to worry about each user account creation. So it's important to have automation and ease of review. And we had pre-existing software to sort of serve this purpose, but it was suffering from limitations. And to go a little more into that, what came before GUTS was the lost task request system. It was an earlier effort by SCCS to build such a system that we actually presented way back 10 years ago at LISO too. I don't know if some of you might have been there. And LOS was good for its time, but by last year it was showing its age. One of the major ways in which that was true was that approving tasks could only be done via the shell or via GPG signed email. There was no web interface to approve tasks, so this was a pretty big hole. Task definitions were also this combination of Perl and XML that was it was unique to LOS, and it was hard to understand and extend. LOS had this idea of task definitions that would automatically generate web forms, which was a neat idea in principle, but in practice led to very poor web forms that often had multiple pages when they didn't need to and were hard for users to use. So that led us to some design goals for the system to replace LOS. First and foremost, we wanted a modern web interface for task management, review, approval, especially something that would allow mobile access. We also thought it would be a good idea to have the same interface for admins and users, right? So that at users, when you invest effort in the UI toward making life easier for users, the admins get the same benefits. We also wanted to make sure that GUTS was easy to understand and maintain and extend. And this is especially important for SCCS because since we're all students, we have a four-year turnover. And so new users are constantly picking up tools, and in order for things to be used for a long time, they need to be easy for people to grasp pretty quickly. And then, of course, we wanted a better user experience. We wanted more flexible UI so that we could have basically nicer forms and a nicer interface. And lastly, LOS did a good job with security and privilege separation. We wanted to ensure that that would continue. And so this is what we came up with. This is a picture of the GUTS dashboard. So this is the web interface, and this is actually the staff view. So the first two tiles on the top left are things that only the staff members would see. And then the rest of the tiles represent different sort of what we call services that we provide via GUTS. So each tile is sort of a self-contained package with certain functionality like mailing lists, groups, Git repositories, email, things like that. And...
Okay, so now we talked a little bit of how GUTS looks and what we're trying to do with it, and let me introduce you to the backend architecture of GUTS. Essentially, what we're using is a process isolation model where we have two distinct components in GUTS.
We have a front-facing web server and a backend that actually does most of the heavy lifting, and they're isolated from each other. And the two of those communicate through this thing called Dbus, about which I'll talk in a second. So the front-facing part of Guts, we call this Guts Web. It uses the Django framework, which you may or may not know is a very popular Python web development framework. And it allows to rapidly develop a nice and rich UI and do a lot of cool stuff. And this front end, this web server, runs as an unprivileged user, so it cannot execute any malicious code on the machine. Then GutsD is the back end, the Guts daemon, as we call it. It actually does all the heavy lifting and runs the Python code, which actually makes changes on the server, which actually executes the task and executes the desired behavior. And the two communicate. So GutsD runs as a privileged user because it obviously needs to have root rights to do its thing. And the two communicate via Dbus. So that way we can separate the front-facing part from the actual root, from the actual privileged daemon in the backend. And then a fourth component is something we call libguts, which is really the core of the Guts system. It's a library which you use when you're writing services. Among other things, you use it to register functions with the Guts daemon. And this really allows developers to write Guts extensions without knowing too much about Guts itself and really write Guts functions more in terms of just generic Python. So let's talk about what services are. I just said that libguts is the actual core of the Guts system. And so let's talk about how to extend functionality in Guts. And we use this idea that we say we want to have modular services which actually implement all the functionality that we want to give to the user with Guts. And these are modeled on Django apps. They're modular extensions. They're, as I said, easy to develop without actually knowing the Guts core, which makes it much easier also for new users / new admins to develop functionality. And they essentially contain a bunch of Django app files. As you can see, if you're familiar with Django, you'll know this. Otherwise, we have a URLs file, which defines the sub-URL for this service, a views file, which actually implements the application views, and the template files, which are just some HTML and CSS files, which make with which you design the form. Then we have some backend code, a functions file. This functions file actually contains the code that changes whatever we want to change on the server, and maybe some external code if we're interfacing with, for instance, Mailman or Git. And then a common settings file for some service-specific settings. And so essentially, this is the anatomy of a service. It's all self-contained for the most part. So we have, and these are all contained, and a service is always contained in its own directory. And so we have, on the right-hand side, we have the things that get loaded by Guts Web, so the views, templates, URL file. And on the left-hand side, we say here actions and info functions because we distinguish between functions that actually do things, which make changes on the server, and functions that only grab information. So the latter we call info functions, the former we call actions. And this is really cool because this makes it really easy also to understand the system because all the code stays together. All the code for one service stays together, so we don't have them cluttered around the whole Guts system.
Okay, and another feature that libguts provides is parameter checking, which is important for security. And so when Guts functions are registered, they can make use of parameter checkers provided by libguts. It's also, of course, possible to write your own parameter checkers. But the ones provided by libguts allow you to verify commonly used parameters, like if a parameter corresponds to a valid Unix user group or a valid mailing list name. And this is just a small code sample from one of our Guts actions. You can see a decorator that we use to register the action with a particular service, in this case Git. And then we actually do, we sort of overload Python's default argument syntax, and each argument to the Guts function takes a param object, which can store the checker for that param and also whether or not it's required or has a default. And this allows us to very naturally express the sort of requirements for parameters to a Guts function. And so that pretty much wraps up our technical discussion of Guts. And then these are just some things that we as admin users find nice and useful about Guts. One of which is the parameter checkers. it just makes it very easy to write new guts functions. It's easy for people to understand because you can see all the requirements for parameters right there. Another one is introspection. This was actually something that we sort of developed just kind of because we thought it might be interesting, but it's ended up being very useful as well. The Guts dashboard interface allows admin users to list all the services and also all of the loaded functions for them, and you can investigate, you can sort of drill down and look at the parameters required for each task, and you can actually execute them. You can customize each parameter and execute those tasks from the web interface as an admin user without needing to go to the shell, which is useful for, you know, there are inevitably cases where sometimes you have to just run a task manually. And another thing that we like is for sort of delayed tasks, we send out emails noting that, you know, someone needs to go in and approve the task or, you know, look over it and approve or reject it. And we embed live status images in those emails. And what we mean by that is that the image is actually hosted on the Guts server and the content of the image depends on the status of the task. And so there you see that the image shows that the status is waiting for admin, but perhaps if you'd gotten there a few minutes later, it would already show approved because someone else had approved it. And this is really convenient, especially for SCCS, where we have multiple people approving tasks all the time. And so if you like pull up a task on your phone and check the email and it loads the image and you see it's already approved, then you can just archive the message. You don't need to worry about it anymore. And Daniel's going to talk about outcome.
So the outcome on the whole, it was a success. We launched Guts to the college community in October 2011, and that's about 6 months after we started development. Bear in mind, this is all done in our free time, so yeah, that's pretty cool. We have continued improving Guts. It grew from about 1,500 lines of Python code to 5,000 lines. And also very nice, this really helped us, is that our response time to user request dropped dramatically. Under loss, it took us about 4 hours. The median was 4 hours to approve a task, and now it's 14.3 minutes. And we are also converting a much larger amount of our potential user base. So we'd have tripled the number of account creations per semester. So we're converting more of the potential users. And really the niftiest thing about this whole Guts thing is that we managed to tie together all these different services that we offer under one flag. And these are services which weren't necessarily meant to ever be offered together. So for instance, we offer mailing lists, we offer Git repositories, we offer email. And these were services that weren't actually intended to be tied together, but now we can offer them to the user as one whole and just go here, use them. And what we learned, obviously, you always learn something, hopefully, especially at college. The integrated interface, we talked about this already, it really helps. Since we're using virtually the same interface as the user, it's in our best interest to, A, make it nice and well understandable. And secondly, if something breaks, we're much quicker in fixing it because we obviously detect it ourselves. Then we found out that by having a very solid core and then adding modular extensions to that, that made development much more easy, especially for new staff members when they come in and don't necessarily know what Guts is all about. They don't have to worry so much about the inner workings, but can just get right to business with improving it and then over time learn how the actual nitty-gritty works. And then obviously building your own system from scratch is really cool and rewarding. Then again, nothing's perfect, and the same here. We found out that, as always, users are users. For instance, we still get a lot of password reset request emails, even though we have this functionality implemented in Guts since a couple months already. So we found out that we really have to expose functionality, especially new functionality, very obviously for users to actually notice it. And then also there's some parts of Guts which we had to rethink. For instance, we try to integrate for our own convenience a tool we use called Tripwire, which essentially monitors file system integrity on our servers and then generates these reports which need approval. And we integrated that into Guts, and then what happened is it crashed it because the reports were so large that the Guts daemon actually thought it had crashed or like just wasn't working at all and killed everything. So we had to reconsider and think about implementing asynchronous task execution for this kind of functionality.
Yeah. And so that brings us to what we're doing with Guts now and what we hope to do in the future. One is just sort of remodeling the front end. We want to continue to iterate and make it easier to use for students. One thing that we want to do in particular is just take more advantage of JavaScript and jQuery and make it sort of a more Ajax interface. We also, you know, at some point would like to have a mobile-specific version of the Guts front end. It works fairly well on mobile devices now, and we've been using it, but it could be even better. Of course, we'd also like to just implement new Guts services. That's an easy path for extension. And then we'd also like to add some features to the Guts core. Asynchronous task execution, like Daniel just mentioned, is good for any tasks that, you know, have to run for a long time, so we can't count on just being able to execute them and then come back to the interface. We'd also like to have a thorough testing framework for Guts. What's held us back from doing this already is mostly just that there are certain key operating system components and things that we would have to mock fairly well in order to make this work, but it definitely would help. And then the last thing is just to generalize Guts and work on eliminating code in it that's specific to our install in SCCS, because when we started this project, it was just something we thought that we would use for ourselves, and now we're seeing that it might actually be useful to other people. And that brings us to, can I have it? And the answer is yes. We'd love other people to work with Guts and to be able to use it. We've released it under the new GPL v3. And you can find more information about Guts and the source code and documentation and our paper for this conference at sccs.swarthmore.edu/project/guts. Okay, yeah. I'll go back to the screen. We have a couple more. So we'd like to thank our Lisa Shepherd, Mark Chirini, and the anonymous reviewers for the input, and also the USENIX Association and the Swarthmore College chapter of Sigma Xi for providing us with travel grants. I'd also like to thank our colleague, Andrew Strami, who's here today, who helped us prepare for this presentation and did a lot of important work on Guts as well. And that brings us to questions. Thanks for attending, and I'll go back to this slide. So.
Questions, anyone?
Yeah, I have a really simple one.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
Right, okay. So the question, who are we? I'm Nick Felt, and this is Daniel Feist-Alexandrov. Yeah. That's a great question, actually. So the question is, basically, in what ways is Guts similar to a ticketing system? How do we use it to handle incoming requests that we might get via email? Why isn't it more like a ticketing system? In between Guts and Loss, there was sort of another project that SCCS used for a while that was sort of more of a ticketing system-based approach. And it ended up being used a little bit less. Partly it's just because for us personally in SCCS, we're still a fairly small operation, so the amount of sort of incoming requests we get is still fairly manageable. But we have talked about trying to make Guts more ticketing-based. We've talked actually about having, right now we sort of have a separate, smaller system that we use just for very, very simple ticketing. And we've talked about trying to integrate that with Guts, like a bunch of our other services, and have that be something so that you can review tickets within Guts, for example, and perhaps even have options to sort of convert Guts, tickets that might appear in Guts into actions and then record those in the same jobs database when we execute tasks, things like password resets, for example. So yeah, that's a great question.
Anyone else? Good advice. I think.